Check, check.
Check,
Hello.
check. Testing one, chew, chew, chew for 22. Testing.
10-4, some bitch, pile monkey nuts. Yeah, okay, sounds good. Or do I sound okay?
Sound okay. Amazing.
Amazing? Like my dulcet tones.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, hey, everybody.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Good try. Good try. Are you two both warm? I know you're in Texas.
Yes, I am now.
Tell us as much as you're willing to relive.
All right. So we can go all the... So today is Friday, yes?
Yes.
Allegedly, yeah.
So I first started losing power on Thursday of last week.
Shit. That's way longer than what I've been hearing reported.
Okay. Yeah, so we started having power issues on Thursday, mostly because things like trees were dropping limbs because all this frozen water on them carried weight.
Science.
But they were being pretty quick at fixing it. I would say Thursday, Friday, we had about 8 hours of power down each day. Over the weekend, it probably went to about 50-50. And then Monday morning at about 2 a.m., it went out and we didn't get it back until Wednesday, where we had like 2 hours of power. And then yesterday we had about 2 hours of power during the day. And then finally in the afternoon, evening, it came back and was pretty solid. And it's been pretty solid since. I think that's the right timeline.
Wow.
I've been... pretty cold. It I would say we spent most of that time Monday morning through Thursday at definitely sub 60, and we dipped right to 50 on a couple of times.
Damn, that is a chilly place to be in.
And I don't have clothes to be in 50 degree weather at all.
Mm-hmm. You barely have clothes. Right. Like, podcast listeners don't know this, but he mostly shows up naked.
I am. Well, I'm always naked from the waist down.
Yeah, you just
I'm naked from the
one time
up.
You sit up to get a drink was horrifying.
I mean, it is called Zoom.
Hey,
double zoom in. Okay, so you don't have the right gear for that, and
right. You're
right, JJ. Did this hit you at all? Or?
So I lost power for a total of about 24 hours. And it was... and also water, too. Got a little bit funky for us at one point. But we have two gas fireplaces. So we were able to keep heat going in the house. We, because of COVID, we've stockpiled a good amount of food already because we wouldn't go out to the grocery stores and things.
Yep.
So we got kind of lucky on that front because we already had enough like staples, so we didn't have to go. Because looking out my window right now, I still can't leave my driveway. The snow and the ice and how far my car is from the actual street, and it's up a hill.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's something that most people don't realize that Texans, our cities are designed for cars, right? That's in general. And also, we don't have two sets of tires like most people have in northern states, where they have like winter tires and summer tires, or these things called chains. We have tires, right? And if you have another set of tires, you're probably like a autocrosser or something like that. Like you don't put other tires on your car. So I'm basically stuck inside my house because I'm not in walking distance of anything without like, it's a hike for going on till this melts. And it's a little annoying.
I'm in the same boat. I mean, we live pretty close together. That's one of the amusing things is we can walk to each other's houses, but I had power out that entire time and JJ had it. It was spotty for you, right? You didn't have a big, long.
Yeah. So we've been trying to figure out why in our neighborhood, my street specifically, because I have neighbors who are like much tighter in with the neighborhood in general. You know, they have all their little like WhatsApp groups and all that bullshit. I just don't care about any of that stuff. But they've been trying to figure out why specifically our street has somehow skipped the majority of the outages in our neighborhood, greater neighborhood area. And the running theory right now is that as the crow flies, right?
Fucking love that phrase.
I'm relatively close to a fire station. So the theory is that they ran from the power from that fire station when they were running all the cable, the power cables in this area, to our street specifically. And then all the other streets were on a different circuit. So I had a total of 24-hour outage, which was, you know, obviously not as bad as CZ, but still frustrating. Needless to say, I'm glad that it was relatively cold because my insulin could have gone bad and I have quite a bit of it. So that's another thing that people really haven't thought about. And then a good friend of ours, Carl, he's been on our podcast before. He actually brought up something I hadn't thought about either, which is the COVID vaccines right now. Like with all these power outages coming out through Texas, I mean, unless people were like frantically throwing ice, these things at ice or something like that, like this could be really bad for our whole situation with the COVID crisis.
So most places that would be storing the COVID vaccine are places that wouldn't be likely to have lost power or would have some sort of backup generation.
That's a good point.
I don't see that as being a likely issue. Like there might be a one-off pharmacy here and there that got some that might be having problems, but part of having the vaccine is you had to have the right storage for it. And if you had the right storage for it, you probably had some sort of alternative power supply.
Well, you know, we also said that, you know, Texas had a good power grid too. And
I don't think anyone's ever said that.
I heard originally. Yeah.
That's an interesting topic to talk about is the Texas power grid and why it is the way it is.
Yeah, I'm a one New York Times podcast into understanding it. So clearly I can feel superior, but I don't actually know that much. Do you two want to talk about what it is?
I mean, I know what it is from living in it while it's been failing. Obviously, I don't know the technical history of it. But basically, as power grids consolidated, they basically formed close to being national power grids. So there's three grids across the US. There is East Coast, there is East, there is West, and there is Texas. And I believe East and West have interconnections so that they can share. But Texas refused to share because they had fairly recently privatized all of the power infrastructure. And connecting up to the other grids would then end up with federal oversight.
Exactly, yeah.
And they didn't want federal oversight because that would interfere with their friends getting profits. Because, you know, you as a government, when you privatize something, you privatize it in a way to benefit yourself, your sponsors, and your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this company, ERCOT, which is the Energy Reliability something, something, something of Texas. And they own the grid, and then the different power companies basically rent from them. And then there's a, I guess, an exchange of mega kilowatt hours over that. So, you know, you connect up using the grid and you rent grid time, but then you're also buying and selling on a marketplace that ERCOT owns. And that's demand driven, well, supply and demand driven. And so there's like an automated bidding system that basically determines the cost of the power at any given time. And it got up to, it's usually dollars per mega kilowatt or whatever the number is. It got up to like $9,000 per mega kilowatt. So it was pretty intense pricing wise. And they're already talking about how they're going to find ways to pass that extra cost on to us.
Fine.
I mean, it's a completely made up arbitrary marketplace of costs, but,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Don't peek behind any other marketplaces in the meantime.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I think this is called trickle-down economics.
Yeah. Now, there's one exception, and that is El Paso. They have some connectivity to an external grid, and I think it's they actually have some connectivity with is it Juarez that's across the border from them? And so they're able to share power with Juarez back and forth as necessary. And my understanding is they were able to stave off most issues because they had that interconnection.
Amazing.
So when I moved to Texas in the 80s, I remember my dad telling me the propaganda that is now obviously propaganda about the Texas power grid. And it was when all the data centers started popping up here because there was a big push to bring data centers to Texas on its own power grid. So, you know, if the Eastern Seaboard or the Western Seaboard go down with all those, you know, people on the coasts and they lose power because of hurricanes and stuff like that, Texas would survive so you can keep your data. So put your computers in Texas. And now, obviously, that has not worked. So, propaganda.
Yeah. And it was amazing how quick they jumped to, oh, it's renewable energy's fault, when the reality, like, they were talking about frozen wind turbines and stuff like
that. Yeah, that was amazing.
That happen a little bit, but that was because all these companies specifically didn't buy the all-weather package.
Yeah. I've got the number right in front of me. Wind power makes up less than 7% of the overall grid.
Yeah. The wind and what's the other one? Light, solar. What's the word with the sun and the light Earth, and the power?
Yeah.
Heart. That poor guy. I always felt sorry for that one.
Listen, he is so emotive, and that is necessary on a team.
That's true.
You need an emotional laborer.
That is true.
You need a heart and soul. Always do.
But it sucks when fire get mad at you. Anyway, this is more important.
The reality was, like, it was all about freezing at the oil, gas, and nuclear power plants. That was where all the issues were. It was all about not being properly weatherized. And that is all about not being properly maintained. And that is all about privatizing a public service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't have a for-profit company run a public thing and have the same incentives than like a public utility would have, right? Because a public utility, their one job is to provide that public utility.
Yep.
A private company that has bought that public utility, their one job is to make a profit for the people that put the money up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it's similar in a lot of ways to what happened in California, right? With the fires that were caused by the faulty power equipment. And like they figured out that was caused by a swinging hanging thing that held stuff up. And it's like 100 years old or whatever. And just from always swinging, it just slowly like worked its way and ate through the metal until it like fell off and shit hit the ground and stuff caught fire.
Damn.
And so we're not talking about, oh, we didn't scrub the toilets one time. We're talking about like decades of neglect and decades of not doing the right thing. We had a similar weather event, not nearly as bad, in 2011. And we had similar outages and stuff. And this was not long after I moved here. And we were just lucky we were living in a spot where we weren't as affected. JJ, you were in that area too at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember too many outages, us having too many outages, but I remember there was a lot of issues throughout Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at the end, after that was done, there was like, oh, we have to do something. We can't ever let this happen again. 10 years pass and nothing was ever fixed or changed.
So there's an interesting statement somebody brought up recently in one of the random podcasts and or radios. By the way, thank God for KUT here in Austin, 90.5 our NPR station. They've been broadcasting information and useful. Like when we had no power in the house, obviously we can't watch TV or use the internet, right? I mean, I'm obviously saying that out loud, but you got to think about this when that actually happens. You're like, holy shit, how do I get any information? Because you need to know, like, we also, our cell phone towers were overrun because everyone was on LTE all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't get on Twitter. Like, I actually have, maybe I'll make it the picture for this, this podcast, but I have a screenshot of the only thing I could see on Twitter, which was like a cached image of Jay Gordon eating a string cheese thing. So whenever I brought up the Twitter, old
string cheese incident.
Yeah. Like, all I saw was fucking Jay Gordon, like, just eating cheese. And I'm like, come on, really? Of all the things in the world for me. Anyway. But thank God for KUT, because they actually put they had the power on the station, and KUT reaches all over Austin because, you know, public radio. And they would do the what's it called? The city updates. Like, they would break their schedule and broadcast out the WebEx, because it was on WebEx, of the status of what the city managers were saying and what everything was going. So for someone who was like, I am locked in my house, I cannot get out, get any information, they actually went back to their service, like the core service of what public radio does, and informed. And it was so great. Like, I made me feel so much better as a human being. It really did.
Yeah. And it was great to watch our politicians and the two-facedness of what they do. Like, we had Greg Abbott going on to Fox News saying, see, this is the sort of thing that happens when you do the Green New Deal. It's like, no, this is the exact opposite of that. Because
we haven't passed that deal.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, getting into fights with people on Twitter about it. But also then yesterday, old Ted Cruz takes the family to fucking Cancun on vacation.
He's fleeing failing system to, you know, start a better future for his family.
Right? And like, he's our, what was he? He's our senator, right?
Our lead senator. Or no, John Cornyn still is, because he got
revoked. He's the junior senator, I think.
Still. Yeah, he's the junior senator. That's right.
So he just up and left. And then, like, it was funny because people were taking photos of him at the airport. And of course, all of his followers are like, oh, that's not him, blah, blah, blah. It just looks like him, you know. And then, like, as it becomes real, they're like, oh, well, you know, they turn the story into he was just dropping his kids off and coming right back. And then someone from the airline actually leaked the time he booked the return ticket, which was like the next morning. So clearly he hadn't bought it then. And then a bunch of friends and family on their, like, text chain, because his wife had been texting about, oh, it's too cold, we're going to go to Cancun. Does anyone, you know, want to come with us? Like, friends and family that were on that text chain started leaking the text chain.
That was my favorite part last night. I'm like, how did they get this? Did they get hacked or something? Like, no, they just sent it to people that didn't like them. Wild.
Incredible.
What
other job could you have and pull something like that and still have a job to come back to?
Yeah.
Venture capitalist.
Actually, okay, yeah. No, that was surprisingly fast and accurate.
That's not a job. That's just someone who's already stolen a bunch of money from other people and has that money to spend on other things.
Yeah, you're right. There's a nuance there.
Yeah.
Yeah, president? It's pretty. Yeah, let's get out of the government stuff. Yeah. It's like, it's got to be a place where people will believe anything you say.
Yeah.
Without impunity. Without like any sort of investigation or care for falsifiable information.
Mm-hmm. But you know, in Texas, we're right on the edge of being a blue state now, anyway. So, like, hopefully, these events just keep dragging more people across.
I mean, it is like pretty undeniable to look at how drastic of a drop in temperature that was for Texas, just by all measurements, unprecedented. I know we've used that phrase a lot in the last 2 years for so many things, so it's kind of exhausted, but just it's hard not to face a reality where, yeah, where blackouts could happen and mm-hmm. where temperatures can range drastically regardless of what state you're in. So I feel like I planned ahead there by going to an Arctic tundra that might warm up. But I'm in Minnesota for new listeners. And yeah, but maybe it's too soon for those jokes. Who's to say? Who's to say?
Yeah. I mean, we are starting to thaw. You know, there's sheets of ice coming off the roof. I can see our neighbors' roofs. I can see surface of the road. So we're starting to thaw, which is good. But people are also finding like dead bodies on the side of the road and shit like that.
Yeah.
Or checking in on the neighbor that they haven't been able to check in on and finding them, you know.
That's horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing, which is we actually had to have public announcements saying, don't bring your grills into your house and start a fire. Now, I'm trying to be a little bit jovial here, and I realize it's a serious situation, but it is a very Texan thing to do, to bring your fire pit inside your house and light a fire.
So,
right.
Like, I want to just say something right there. And that is, I saw someone else talking about, oh, people should know not to burn like treated wood. And I'm like, it's 40 degrees and lower in your house.
You have
no sign of power coming back anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Burn whatever the fuck it is you got to burn to try and survive.
That's right.
Right. That's kind of what's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you might know that you shouldn't do it, but at the same time, you might think you're going to fucking die regardless.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And I'm not trying to be sensitive to that, but it is just such a Texan thing to do, is that everyone had a propane grill or whatever on their porch. They're like, that's a source of heat. I need to bring it in because it's what I use to cook, right? Like, it's the barbecue joke and all that jazz about us being, anyway.
Yeah.
I do want to take a quick little roundabout kind of conversation here, where there was another little poke that I saw, and kind of going back to the Texas becoming blue statement, there is a really interesting, what's a good word for it? With all the, for lack of a better term, an accurate term, of failures of what's been going on so far in our infrastructure and in our government, there's a lot of conversation starting about like the idea of the individualist, like Texas pull ourselves up by our bootstrap mentality is going across the board, because we're like, no, we need help. Like, the world works because, you know, we have taxes that pay for services, that pay for public good. Like,
that Texas mayor, the tweeted?
Oh, yeah.
He deleted it real quick. But this Texas mayor basically sent, actually it was a Facebook message. It was basically, all you people that are expecting the government to do all this stuff for you, who do you think you are? This is your problem, your responsibility. It's got nothing to do with us. And this is like the person who is the elected, paid representative of the city that he's in. And that's just mind boggling.
He's representing a way of thinking that, I mean, Texas has always been like the, you know, on my own, don't need anything. Mm-hmm. Everything's bigger and better here on our, and like, if it could be its own country, it would be, it certainly is, mm-hmm. attempted to in history. But like, so JJ, you're saying like, there is, while there might be that energy historically, there's strong push to a, oh my God, maybe we survive better as a collective.
Exactly. And I think that this is almost a generational jump, where all of a sudden people who grew up in the 80s, early 90s, when communism was failing, right? And the argument of communism bad, collective bad, individualism, Americanism good, right? That generation is shrinking in influence. And there's another generation of seeing communism fail, but actual socialist countries flourishing, and now seeing them flourish even farther, like, well, socialism, I'm putting that in quotes, social welfare, you know what I'm trying to say.
There's social democracies throughout Scandinavia, yes, which you're attempting to refer to, but there's a misappropriation, yes, of economic systems versus systems of power sharing that are
exactly
constantly crossed as if they're a single through line. Yes, exactly. I'm fully with you on this energy. And like it is generational, and like yeah, when you say socialism to anyone my parents' age, they're like, oh yeah, we think of communist USSR, or the scary China or something like that, and we're just like, no, I just think of people living longer and like sweating in little, you know, wood lodges outside their house before jumping into an ice bath.
Exactly.
And not going into crippling debt because they needed to have surgery or because they wanted to go to college.
I'm not 100% accurate. Sure, this is an accurate statement because I don't actually understand. But
this is a podcast, dude.
Yeah, right. But when I was in Switzerland, we did a talk there. Like, I was blown away with how everything was just great. Like the I flew into this country, right? And it's completely owned. Right.
Okay, keep going.
But no, in all seriousness, right? Like the collective good of Switzerland, like I felt safe. I felt like I could walk around at like 3 a.m. if I wanted to, which I did because I was jet lagged and didn't know what the hell was going on. Like there were police that were just like chatting, right? Like not in like the jackboot black police officers we have here, but no, they were just like just chilling out. Like it's such a crazy like paradigm switch. And I realize it's a privilege that I got to travel around the world when I did. And I completely understand that, but it really did open my eyes that I wish I could just take some of these Texans that I know that would be like, nah, man, blah, 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 blah. I just want to just grab them and just drop them into another country for a day and just be like, just experience that. We could have this. If you just stop being an idiot, like we could be on the path to this world where we could actually, you hurt yourself, you go to the hospital. I'm a diabetic. I don't have to spend $6,000 on insulin a year. Like it takes care. I'm taken care of. Like that is,
to be clear, that's your out of pocket expense, right?
It's actually higher. I just pulled that number, like, but it's actually worse.
Right. But that's not like the total amount. That's just the amount that you're paying after your insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sorry. I get riled up when I think about this stuff.
Do you?
Good for you. No, I like it. I like, you know, JJ letting out a little energy on the show is always satisfying. Good.
Now I had a thought the other day and I just want to run this by you. Am I completely bananas when I say more and more I see portrait style videos showing up in places because that's what we get, like Instagram and like everything with the phones up, right? Are we going to have a shift where our main TVs become portrait oriented?
That's horrifying.
And like we start seeing like TV shows and stuff produced all in that portrait format?
No. Next question.
Yeah, no, I'm not comfortable with this. Like, granted, I did like cut out part of my camera, if you noticed.
That's what made me think of it, to be honest. Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Well, it's because I usually have my green screen up, right? And then it's just me because I use OBS just to have me.
Yeah.
But yeah, shit, that's not good. I don't like it.
Nah, yeah, I think there's enough television history to, in relation to the quantity of cell phone history to television history, I think there's enough momentum just from.
Maybe we'll end up with like auto, like rotating screens.
Well, and people are just lazy.
Change their orientation.
So people are going to hold and type and text within portrait mode.
It's not a lazy thing. No. Instagram, Snapchat, like all of those apps are optimized for a portrait photo and a portrait video.
Mm.
Yeah, it looks better because it was designed to look better that way.
Right.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm very uncomfortable with this train of thought. So I think we should just ignore it and move on.
All right. Yep. All right. So what have we done food-wise lately? I mean, we got kind of thrown into a thing with this whole snowpocalypse.
I learned a very valuable lesson. Two actual lessons in this snowpocalypse situation because I had to... Right. Work with what I had. First lesson. So if you remember last week, I mentioned I made the the pork bone broth thingy that I did, right? Where I made it with a bunch of extra pork shoulder that I had, and I threw
You made a pork stock. Yes.
Pork stock. Thank you. So I learned a very valuable mistake. Don't put citrus in your stock.
No.
Okay. I wouldn't have done that, but I wouldn't have known why not to. So let's explore before you jump to the correct answer, Paul. I want to hear what JJ went through.
My simple thought process was, I made carnitas, and you use lime as an agent in the carnitas, at least the Wiseman way of doing it, the Josh Wiseman way of doing it, as a breakdown agent, I guess. So my theory was, well, we like citrus in my family, so why not put that in the stock, right? To try to get that at least a little bit out. And I put some garlic in there, and I played around with it a little bit, I'll be honest with you. I will say it was edible and horrible.
What did it taste like? Like, what was wrong?
Well, so I tried, my theory was, is I use my stocks for ramen. So let me throw some ramen in there, right? Because it's nice and soupy, it's nice and warm. And it was a choice between being warm and eating ramen and eating something that's disgusting and tastes like weird citrusy pork shit is the best way to describe it.
All right, Paul, like, we need some of your vocabulary.
Yeah, so like a lot of your fruit acids, so citric, like lemons, limes, stuff like that, their taste is all about like that freshness of that like lemon juice or orange juice or whatever. And you basically cook that out. And without that freshness, you kind of have like the tartness and like the mellowed out version of that, which isn't great. So there's nothing wrong. And actually, this is why, when you look at like ramen, this is why you have your broth, your tare, and your oil. Because they all do different things. They all carry different flavors, and they all like cook or activate it differently. Right. So anything that is like has a good base flavor or aromatic is what you want in your stock. So that's things like your bones. That's stuff like garlic, onion, bay leaf, maybe some herbs, pepper, like stuff like that. If you're going down the Chinese route, maybe some Sichuan peppercorns, maybe some fennel seeds, maybe some star anise, cinnamon, whatever. So that's your stock. So when you're talking about adding citrus, I would put that in that would be the tare stage of a ramen, right? Because that's your extra flavors that you're adding to it. And it's not unusual to have some sort of acidic element in a tare.
Well, now I want to know like the chemical reaction happening of like what's boiling out. So we're going to have to bookmark that for a later show.
Yeah. So next time you do it, JJ, acidic components, best to add right before you eat.
Okay. Noted. It's good to know.
That also makes sense why with pho, the place we get pho from has a big wedge of lime separate from everything else. Squeeze that on top at the end, and it is delectable. Just brightens up the whole dish.
Exactly.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, that lessons learned, things not to do. How about you, Paul? I heard you made some quick things even amongst the chaos, I guess.
Yeah, I did a couple of things. So I had a portable butane burner, which I used indoor, which you shouldn't do, especially with no added ventilation. But that goes for any kind of gas oven or stove anyway, right? Yeah, exactly. But, we've got CO2 detectors, and I'm only using it to boil the occasional pot of water or whatever. So I wasn't too bothered.
Yeah, you only huff it a little bit.
I only huff it a little bit, yeah. So I did, let me think. I did a couple of things. I made a big pot of soup. Oh, when we got the power on, I literally threw everything we had vegetable-wise into the Instapot and set it for 20 minutes. And then dumped it all into containers in the snow. And that was to like feed us in emergency. We had soup and stuff that we could reheat pretty easily on that butane stove. Other than that, I made a bunch of ramen. I made some that was like proper fresh noodles and everything because I had some, and then I made some that was 2-minute variants and kind of just applied some of the better ramen techniques to it, you know, tare oil and stuff like that. But I also made I got a dozen eggs and steamed them. So there's a steam method you can use instead of hard boiling them. And in larger quantities, it's often easier to steam them. So basically in a steamer basket above boiling water for 7 minutes for soft, 12 minutes for hard boiled, something like that. And then I basically dumped them outside as well, because snow's pretty good at keeping things cold, turns out. Things Texans learned this week.
You're like, I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, it took us a minute to realize that anything in the fridge we didn't want to spoil, we could just put outside.
Yeah. That's totally fair if you've never been in that scenario. Right? But I'm like, it's called like a Minnesota freezer, like right. Just leaving something on the porch.
Yep. And so that worked pretty well. And then I did a couple of batches of fried rice, and I used like the instant rice that comes par cooked. You know, the stuff I'm talking about, right? That you would normally microwave for like 90 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best lazy meal.
Right. And you just crumble that up and put it in your pan and just make fried rice with it. And that cooks it the rest of the way. And it's already pretty dry, so you're not having to try and dry out the rice.
Yeah.
And so that's I used that. I basically got a Teflon pan with pretty high sides. I chopped up some green onion and some garlic and put it in some oil and just had it on low while I was preparing everything else and just kept adding stuff to it and then cranked the heat up, threw the rice in, flipped it, and then added a bunch of chili crisp and boom, delicious fried rice. Chili crisp fried rice is so good. And I chopped up a couple of the boiled eggs and had it through as well. It was great. Yeah, completely at random and not expecting this weather to happen was a friend of ours had a bunch of mustard greens and I did a bunch of pulled pork and like said, hey, anyone who wants some, come and grab some pulled pork. I did like 5 shoulders and he dropped off a bag of that. And so I made kimchi with it just happened to be like start coming ready right as the weather hit. And so I've been eating kimchi on stuff, on my noodles, on my fried rice and stuff like that. And that's so good. Like, it's a great way to warm yourself up because it's got all that chili and stuff in there.
Yeah. So you're like a mix it in kind of person, like into your soup?
It depends. Like the ramen, I sort of left it sort of on top as like you would a ramen garnish.
Yeah,
ramen.
One of the toppings.
But by the time you eat it, it's mixed through anyway.
Yeah.
But like if I'm doing like fried rice or something, I'll chop it and like mix it through.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, kimchi fried rice is one of my favorite takeouts from this place in downtown Boston that I used to live across the street from. Like, that I was eating that once a week. I've got a kimchi soup recipe that's delicious.
I should make that now I have kimchi. Yeah.
It takes 15 minutes, and it's really good if you can get some daikon radish and like slow simmer that until it boils through and has some softness to it, but it absorbs all the flavor and all the spice from the kimchi sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this batch of kimchi I made was, I don't know, it was like a grocery bag full of mustard greens, right? And I got half a quart jar.
Exactly.
So it's like so good, so like concentrated and like it's yum.
Yeah.
And I used a little bit.
They're probably amazing,
right? I used a little bit too much fish sauce, so it's got like a whole heap of funk in the bottom of it, which is, you have to like fish sauce to like I probably wouldn't use as much again, but I'm not enjoying it.
Cool. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
So on the food front, I had nothing, like not a particularly individual interesting meal in the last week, but my wife had a really busy week at work and I had some flexibility. So I said, don't worry about food. I got it. And I cooked every night for 7 days straight, which because I realized recently, I just had the aha moment. I'm like, why don't we never have like good food for lunch? I'm like, okay, well, we default to eating some leftovers from one of the more recent nights. So I'm like, okay, I need to start cooking in larger quantities so we have delicious leftovers. And yeah, I just never cooked that much. I don't know if you all know quite how much, like, Paul, you've been a huge influence on me where like I actually cook regularly, mostly from us. It started with barbecue and then like this ramen thing kind of kicked off this like, yeah, fuck it. I think I can learn this other stuff too.
Yeah.
It was super fun, man. I made like a really good like lemon and garlic chicken, made another batch of risotto with butternut squash and leek. Made a couple ramens again because, you know, lean on what you got. And a couple other things. Oh, I made my first shepherd's pie and that was
oh, cool.
Delicious. I would never have thought of putting all those things on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But my buddy sent a recipe and like the ending of like smushing a bunch of mashed potatoes on top of like meat with peas and carrots and celery root. Mm-hmm. And then like broiling that till it's got a crisp on top. Mm-hmm. Is just freaking delicious.
So here's my secret to good mash, whether it's going on top of shepherd's pie or just being eaten on its own. Equal parts potato and butter.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, you heard me.
I put 2 pounds of potatoes in there. So you're saying 2 pounds of butter?
You heard me.
I'm still processing.
In fucking incredible. Not something you're going to eat a lot of, but it's so good. Oh my God.
What does that even look like? Just butter. Like, JJ, tag in here, man. Like, can you eat mashed potatoes with that are equal parts butter and potato?
I'm, you know, if I've learned anything from a friend of mine who has access to chefs in restaurants, whenever you hear a recipe calls for X amount of butter, 2x it and add a little bit more, and that's usually what they have in the restaurant to do. So I support Paul in his choice of putting more butter in whatever he's doing. By the way, I've learned that one of my favorite burger places here in Austin, well, obviously not right now, but in Austin, they sell butter that they don't use for their bread, extra butter. And it turns out it's better than some of the butters that I've been getting from the grocery stores. So I'm happy. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of butter.
Cheap.
We just found, so Adele's been reading books from a local author who talks about local food available in Wisconsin and Minnesota, like really big on like the local sourcing. And because of that, she went to a new place to pick up butter. She came back with a brick of probably 2 pounds. So I could have used it for mashed potatoes, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I have never in my life like sliced a piece of butter and eaten it and felt like I had the most divine thing in my life, but I did that day. That mm-hmm. is some really good shit. I have no idea what's going on, but like we usually do Kerrygold, which is delicious, but like yep. this stuff just blows it out of the water flavor wise.
Have you ever made your own butter?
Of course.
Yes, but in elementary school at like a folk
yeah thing so what you need to do that well actually my daughter came home and taught me this, right? Which is you go get heavy whipping cream, you put it into a mason jar, and you just sit there and just shake it, just constantly shake it until finally it breaks apart.
Oh, I'm great at that motion. This will be easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all the shake weight you do.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, of course.
And it's and then you throw some, you know, red pepper flakes in there or whatever, and it's it really is like the better quality, obviously heavy whipping cream you get, the better, but it is,
yeah.
it really does. Like when you finally do it, you're like, why don't I do this all the time? Oh, it's because it's exhausting. That makes sense.
So JJ, you have a stand mixer. You literally do the same thing in a stand mixer.
Oh shit. You're right.
So so we have a local dairy called Mill King, and I would, back when it was possible to go places and buy things, I would buy that, like a pint of that at a time, and make my own butter. And then you use the whey for sourdough, because it's basically water, but with a bunch of like the milk proteins and stuff still in it from when it split out. But what I would do is, and I would add a really good like flaky sea salt. It's about the only time I do pre-salted butter is when I'm making it myself, because it's always going to be for going on bread or something. But the other thing is, every once in a while, Central Market, which is kind of our local like upmarket version of HEB. It is from HEB, but it's our upmarket version of themselves. Once a year, we'll have truffles. And so I'll buy a couple of like the smaller misshapen black truffles to try to get as cheap as possible. And I'll chop them up real fine and then mix them through as I'm making the butter and make like a really good truffle butter.
Nice. So let me just make sure I get this while I'm hearing it. I have the paddle mixer in my mixer. I just do that.
Use the whisk attachment.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And you basically, you whip it past cream, past like, you know, firm peaks, high peaks. And then at some point it just kind of suddenly breaks and it splits the fats and the liquids.
Really?
And then you basically, your job there is to get as much of the liquid out of the fat as possible. And you can do that by like squeezing it and getting in a cloth and squeezing it and massaging it and stuff. And if you get enough liquid out, then you have a really good homemade butter. It's really easy. It's like zero work. The only real work is like trying to get as much of the liquid out as possible.
I'll report back next week.
While it's still soft, if you want to do a compound butter, you can add red pepper flakes or truffles if you're bougie or whatever.
Oh, and this is a great segue into another mistake I learned in this emergency cooking. Don't use your gas grill to bake bread.
Tell me more.
So I usually put my bread in clay pots and I usually put them in an oven. Mm-hmm. Seems reasonable, right? Well, my oven is electric. Didn't have electricity. I was like, hey, there's a grill outside. It gets hot. Let's put that in there. Now I have two loaves of bread, charred and black on the bottom, weird and white on top. And I tried doing it other way. Yep. Directional heat doesn't do well on clay pots. Just another lesson learned there.
So that's not entirely true. But when you're heating a pot over direct heat, you have to understand the pot. Some of them you can't heat with nothing in them or they'll crack. So they need to have liquid or something in them. Some of them are fine to heat. And then also some of them you have to heat very slowly versus some you can heat right away. It's all about like the type of clay used and how much water might be in there, if there's any potential for trapped air that'll expand and explode, all that sort of stuff. And so like Chinese like cooking is like they use tons of clay pots for stuff like clay pot rice and stuff like that, right? You just have to know how you're supposed to use it. But JJ, you have a big green egg, and that is great for cooking bread in. And you even have a pizza stone outside. For it.
It was cold outside. Like I wasn't going to go out there.
The grill's like right fire up the grill. You can fire up the green egg.
It's so much farther down the stairs, and like
you've got internal stairs to the downstairs, and you can just walk out that door. I'm hearing lame excuses.
I am. Just but the other thing this is
flatbreads. You can grill.
This is
literally
how we talk normally. This is like the back. This is almost like this isn't even us podcasting anymore. This is him just being like, JJ, you're being a lazy son of a bitch.
The worst inner monologue externalized.
Exactly.
So you're saying flatbreads?
Yeah, flatbreads like pita bread is great on the grill. Any of those kind of flattish breads are great cooked on the grill. So there's that as well. But yeah, you're not going to easily cook like a big like boule or, you know, French loaf or whatever on a mm-hmm. gas grill without a lot of care and attention and thinking about what you're doing. Speaking of grills and barbecues, wasn't there something, Matt, you were going to talk about birthday related?
Eventually.
There was a second. There was a second part or something.
Yeah, I still needed some time to research, but I'm okay. looking at smokers, and that will be something. So if you have strong opinions and you listen to the show, let us know in one of the Slacks or on Twitter, and we will explore this in a later episode.
All right. So if you're listening to this, first of all, I am sorry for everything that we do and say. Secondly, let us know if you think Matt should get a Kamado style, if he should get like an offset Texas style, or offset. If he should get a pellet grill, a pellet smoker. Like what direction should Matt go and why? And then we can get on here and I can tell you why you're wrong. And I'm happy to name you and shame you if you're into that sort of thing.
If that's your kink, we are here for it. Well, good. I think it seems like a pretty natural wrapping up point. Glad everyone has power, and maybe we've learned that the friends are what was important the whole time. No, I don't. Aww. I don't actually know the narrative at the end.
You know
this.
What? If friends would have been great if we were legally allowed to snuggle without catching COVID.
True. That is true.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah, because I could have done with some JJ body warmth, but I don't want the JJ COVID.
I'm just a big teddy bear, man. That's all I am. I really am.
So. With purple highlights. Yes.
Awesome. All right, gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.